What is up, guys? Welcome back to the Zach and Pat Show. I'm Zach.
I'm Pat.
This is the show about manhood, fatherhood, entrepreneurship, and the mentality it takes to be successful at those things. And we'll probably sprinkle in some helpful real estate advice too, if that's what Pat and I do. You know, guys, life can be tough. We can go through some things and struggle at times, but this is the show to let you know that you're not alone. So if you're someone out there going through any of these things, this is the show for you. Remember, we are doing the book club for the month of May. Our book this month is Winning by Tim Grover. This is his second book. The first one was Relentless. I read it a few years ago. That one was more about Michael Jordan and because Tim Grover was Michael Jordan's coach, as well as Kobe, Charles Barkley, Dwayne Wade. So, you know, uber successful athletes. He was their, you know, their performance and like mental coach, I guess you could say. And it's just an incredible book. I'm really digging this one. I'm looking forward to recapping this one at the end of the month. So buy the book, read it along with us, and we will be recapping that at the end of this month. So get it, try to catch up, finish it before the end of the month, and you know, you'll be able to enjoy the podcast a little bit more. Shout out to our friends at NeuroGum for keeping us energized and focused throughout our shows. NeuroGum is a chewing gum that has caffeine, L-theanine, B vitamins 6 and 12, helps keep you energized, focused. You know, I like to chew it whenever I'm driving around and you know, showing houses or before CrossFit workouts, during jiu-jitsu. I really chew it all the time. So, you know, it really helps me from grabbing, you know, another energy drink or another cup of coffee, you know, late in the afternoon. I can just grab, pop a piece of NeuroGum. It's about 40 milligrams of caffeine. Not going to keep me awake all night. Just keeps me, gives me a little buzz to keep going. And yeah, so get out there, try some NeuroGum.
Also want to shout out to our people over at Fifth Flavors. Now through the end of this month, through end of May, with the promo code podcast50, you'll get 50% off a one-time online gift card. I went on there. I got a $1,000 gift card for $500. If you've been paying attention and listening to the podcast, I eat Fifth Flavors on a daily basis. It's perfect for people that are on the go, trying to eat healthy and trying to stay on top of what they're eating, macro counting, everything like that. I mean, and their food's delicious. You know, I'm excited for their new menu to drop in June. But yeah, from now until the end of this month, make sure you get on there. If you haven't already, promo code podcast50 will get you 50% off a one-time gift card.
Yeah, dude, Fifth Flavors is the best. I'm, you know, I just started our, you know, the nutrition challenge for our CrossFit gym. We've been, you know, we're all kind of getting in shape before summer together, and it's an 8-week challenge. I'm going to be crushed. I mean, I've been crushing Fifth Flavors all week. I really always do, but it's really going to help me stay on track through this whole, you know, nutrition challenge. So looking forward to that.
Yeah, it's been awesome. I mean, I think I started, what was it, February that I started there?
Yeah.
And sounds started great. Working with, we did the initial challenge. And then just been working with Rachel on my nutrition. I mean, it's been fucking great. It went from 277, I think, was the most I weighed. And just weighed in earlier this week at 257. So dude, I'm like, sick. Fucking pumped, dude.
Dude, it's great, yeah. Man. I can't believe it's been that long since you've been coming. Now that I think about it, I'm like, yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah. You know, and you know, we were there this morning working out. And that workout Monday, I know both of us are still.
Oh, dude,
my whole body.
Dude, training for that Murph, man, is... That's just tough, man.
Yeah, just lots of, I mean, you know, it's not the sexy, fun, you know, it's just like the most, you know, but they are like the basic movements that, you know, I think anybody can do with minimal equipment. I mean, really all you need is a pull-up bar and you could do the Murph and but bro, it's a full body thing. You know, I mean, the workout on Monday was, I mean, cumulatively, it was 100 pull-ups, 200 push-ups, 300.
It was, no. What was it? It went 20, 30, 40, 50.
Right. But five rounds. So, you know, that would have been 200, 100 pushups. No, 100 pull-ups, 150
push-ups,
200 sit-ups, and 250 squats over the course of, I mean, I think I did it in like 35 something minutes. And that was, and with timed rest in there. And oh, God, yeah. I am. Like all
what happened afterwards, Zach?
I threw up. It was, on that last set of 50 squats, I'm just like, I could feel it coming. And I'm like, I'm so close. Just finish. And then like, the last three reps, I like puked in my mouth and finished it and ran outside and just blew chunks all into the grass. It was, Yeah, not my most proud moment, but
CrossFit's fun, you guys.
Yeah, it is fun. Come join us. Yeah. It's fun. I've thrown up in many workouts, going all the way back to football and wrestling and stuff. So it's just, you know, and me and Bree were talking about this. I was like, well, because that was the first day of the challenge, but the 5 days before that, I mean, I did nothing but party, active. Man. Had a very fun week last week. You know, we went to the concert, then I went to, you know, we had a diaper party, and then, you know, two nights in a row, I went and saw live MMA fights, and then we had Mother's Day, and it was just basically like, you know, 5 days in a row of eating like shit and drinking, and then, you know,
amazing what that'll do to you.
Oh yeah, and you can go throw a workout in on top of that, especially one like that, you know, I'm not surprised I felt the way I did.
Yeah.
So, yeah, definitely, you know, hey, it is what it is. I'm feeling really good, though. I'm, you know, 3 days in. So, you know, not super long, but you know, just even a couple days of getting back on track, you feel that momentum, and just feels good. You know,
yeah, especially
it feels
like
good to be.
You get the proper macro amount that you need to be at, and you're starting to hit it. Like your body just feels like it's working at its optimal pace or amount. Like it just feels great.
Well, that's one thing I was talking to Rachel about that I really wanted to focus on. You know, through this challenge is like, yes, okay, I've on and off counted macros for like pretty much since like 2016, I guess. And so, I've got a pretty good grasp of that. But one thing I really wanted to focus on that I think I suck at is like timing my food around my workouts and like figuring out, okay, well, all right, before my workout, you know, 2 hours before my workout, I want to eat this so that I perform better. You know, I was like, I really want to focus on like the performance side of it just because I feel like that's one aspect that I'm not good at or not very educated on, and I really want to like focus on getting, you know, just getting a better education there so that I can perform at my best. You know, I've learned that, you know, eating Chipotle an hour and a half before jiu-jitsu class is not a good idea. So you know, I want to learn, you know, just the better way to time my stuff. So, and you know, I think I'll be getting in better shape while I'm doing it. You know, I think, you know, I was saying, you know, I was talking to Gina about it. I was like, oh man, maybe I shouldn't be doing this, you know, we're going to have a baby in less than 4 weeks. But I was like, you know, this is the best time to do it, you know, cause I'll get, you know, cause I mean, I'm going to try to stay, you know, on track as much as I can, you know, through, I mean, obviously we'll probably have a couple crazy days there when we're in the hospital, but you know, I'm going to do my best to try to stay on track and not go off the rails, you know, cause that's one thing I definitely struggle with, or I have problems with, is like, man, like, one bad meal, you know, like I say, you know, I go out to lunch and I eat a burger and fries, and then like, well, and then later that night, I'm like, fuck it, the day's already ruined. Let's throw a pizza on top of that, and fuck, let's go get ice cream too. You know, the day's already ruined anyway. We might as well just spiral out of control. And yeah, I've got a bad habit of doing that, so that's definitely something I need to work on. And you know, I'm aware of it, obviously. So I guess that's the first step.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah, but Pat, you went to your first jiu-jitsu class last night.
Dude, it was awesome.
Let's hear about it.
I fucking loved it. So, yeah, first one, and I'm glad it was the one that I went to. You know, you're learning defense. That was the main concept of last night, was learning how to protect when you're on your back.
Mm-hmm. When someone has your back.
Yeah, yeah. And I feel like, you know, that's, I mean, you're going to be in that position. It's going to happen.
100%.
And it was awesome to come in and learn, like, just start from that. And build from there, you know, as well as learn some offensive maneuvers and kind of tying it all together. I loved how you taught the class and basically like, hey, we're going to start here and then we're going to do this. And now we're going to combine the two things and we're going to move forward. And then like, it was just building the whole class and it was great. I mean, you guys all talked about it. Like, you had that moment where you get out and you called your wives and you're like, I know what I'm doing the rest of my life. Like, I walked out, like I was on this fucking high. And, you know, I text my girlfriend, I go, I'm going to fucking do this for the rest of my life. And then I text my ex-wife and I'm like, I'm going to need some help with the kids because I want to fucking do this all the time. And until they're old enough to come, like, there might be some days where I might need you to take the kids so I can go get a workout in.
Yeah.
And then I actually called my mom. Well, she's coming into town. So Connor graduates from preschool on Sunday, which is insane.
That's wild.
But she's coming in and she flies in tomorrow on Thursday. And so I'm like, hey, I've got like my introduction meeting with Kyle and then going to, you know, train afterwards. And my meeting's set up for 6. And then he's like, or like the times I have to choose from are 6 and 6:30. And so I want to do this early, but what I was thinking is, like, if I pick you up from the airport, we go and surprise the boys and we pick them up from school, will you be able to watch them so I can go do this? And she goes, fuck yeah, that's awesome. I'm glad that you're doing this. Like, that's awesome. Like, you know, there's a lot of frustration that can be built up in this industry. Like, I feel like that's a great way for you to release it. Like, she goes, for me, like, I did kickboxing when I worked in there, and that was mm-hmm. a way for me to release it. And that's awesome that you're able to find this and that you loved, like after one time, like, you, how much you're excited about this. I'm excited for you. So of course I'll watch the kids. So I'm like, fucking right, let's go.
Heck.
So yeah, no, I'm excited. And yeah, I mean, it was weird. I mean, I got fucking choked out by a guy that was half my size.
Yeah.
And I mean,
it's funny is that guy's been coming 2 months.
Really?
You know, so it's like, not like he's probably getting to that point where he's probably going to be graduating. So how it works at our gym is you're typically in like the beginner's class for the first couple months. You know, we teach you the basics. That's the class I coach. And it's just kind of the intro course. And, you know, people come and go pretty quickly. You know, there's a lot of people that, you know, might do it for a couple of weeks and they're like, maybe this isn't for me. Or, you know, they just show up for a couple of weeks and you don't see them for one, then they come back for two, and then you don't see them for a month. You know, there's a lot of that. So you're in the basics class for the first couple of months, and then you kind of graduate to the big class with all the other people. And I think this is a great way to do it, because, you know, my very first day in jiu-jitsu was very, very different from Pat's. Whereas, you know, you got thrown to the wolves your first day, you know, whereas the place I started, you know, we did about, you know, 15, 20 minutes worth of warm-ups and then about 15 minutes worth of drilling. And then the last like hour was just like basically an open mat where everybody just kind of fucked each other up for an hour. It was just like, you know, set the timer, you go roll rounds, you know, there's no structure. Like, as you'll notice, like last night I had, you know, we were working on escapes. We were working on a specific position. We're working on escaping rear mount or the back. And so I was like, all right, well, you're going to start with someone on your back, and we're basically playing escape versus submission. You know, the guy on the back, you know, you can just hold the position if you don't know any submissions, or if you know some submissions, why don't you attempt them? You know, try to submit the guy that, you know, you're on, the guy that, you know, you're on his back. Got guy on bottom, you're working on getting out. You know, I never had any of that when I first started. It was just like, to the death, you know, it's just like, and you know, especially when you're getting started, like, you just don't, you need some guidance. Like, you
had no fucking clue. Like, I had no idea what I was getting into.
Right. And it's like, I always say, it's like learning a whole new language, man. And, you know, it's just like a lot of, especially if you have no prior combat sports or grappling experience. Like, I came in with, you know, years of wrestling. So like, I had like a feel for it, but it's very different. Like, wrestling and jiu-jitsu, yes, they're both grappling sports, but like, the objectives are very, very different. Like, the objective in wrestling is, I want to take the, you know, you're focused more of being on the feet, honestly, like more of like, especially when you're talking about wrestling and jiu-jitsu, is like, I'm working on taking you to the floor. And then, you know, that is wrestling. But the second we hit the floor, that's when the jiu-jitsu starts. Whereas wrestling, you know, I'm just trying to take the guy down, pin the guy, put the guy flat on his back. Whenever you take someone down in jiu-jitsu, like, you might be falling right into a submission. You might be, there's a lot of other things you got to worry about. And there's a lot that goes on.
Well, it's funny, yeah, because my mom was asking me, she's like, well, what is jiu-jitsu like? Is it like wrestling? I'm like, not really, but kind of. I was like, it's a grappling sport. I was like, I feel like with wrestling, you're just trying to pin the guy. Mm-hmm. Where like, in actual jiu-jitsu, you're trying to submit them to get them to, like, you're trying to choke them out, or you're trying, like,
snap limbs,
break a bone. Mm-hmm. And I was like, it's way more intense than what wrestling is. And and she was like, wow, that's really fucking cool.
Well, it's like, so, the martial part of martial arts, like, you know, martial art, you know, the martial part, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, English major, but martial has something to do with
force,
you know, and applying force. And
imagine, okay, so martial law.
Yeah.
What is that essentially?
It's applying force, forceful demand, you know, forceful rules.
It's right? Like authoritarianism. So martial art is it's the art of using force.
Yeah. So it's more of a martial art than wrestling. It's more, you know, deadly. Mm-hmm. Or like, you know, you're going to be putting someone, you're going to be, you know, doing a lot more damage than wrestling. I mean, don't get me wrong, I could put you in some wrestling moves that are uncomfortable, but like, it probably is not going to choke you out or submit you or break any of your bones. It's just going to make you pretty uncomfortable.
You'll see the difference when you put a wrestler on his back and he has no jiu-jitsu experience more than anything. It's like, all right, cool. You have a lot of power and you can get me to the ground once you're there. But like, what do you do?
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah. It's, Yeah, man, you're just getting started. It's just going to be a whole new yeah, world for you.
I'm really excited.
You know, I definitely want sometime in the next couple weeks, I want you to show up to an open mat and experience that, yeah. You know, like we'll plan it out where you can show up to an open mat and like just get some actual rounds in with like, you know, some upper level guys. So you can kind of really experience. Okay. Cause like right now, like the guys, you know, you're rolling with upstairs right now are going to be like the newer guys. Right. They're just a month or two ahead of you. Whereas, you know, when you go to like an open mat, you could be rolling with guys that have been doing it for 2 years or guys have been doing it for 15, yeah. You know, and you'll really see the levels to it. And you'll be like, whoa, like yeah. it like blows your mind. Cause like you'll get some guys on you and you know, it'll be the most frustrating thing ever. Cause you'll be on the bottom of, you know, underneath them and you know, they'll be effortlessly moving around on top of you. Yeah. And you're just like, you don't even know what's going on. And it's just a cool thing to experience. And it just kind of, it'll show you the levels of where, you know, where this can go, especially like when you're just getting started. Cause like, it's just like very, very similar to like lifting weights. There's that quick progression, mm-hmm. You know, like I'm, you know, like over that first year and a half, like you're going to get like, you're going to look back at where you were a year ago and be like, holy shit, like look where I've come.
Right.
And then, you know, eventually it starts to kind of plateau off a little bit, just like it does with lifting weights. Like just because I, you know, started working out and, you know, and over that first year, I got, you know, way stronger. I was only able to bench 135 and look now I can hit 185 for reps. You know, like there's that big jump and now, you know, you're stuck at that 185. Maybe you break 200 over the course of the next year, but you're not going to get that big, you know, jump. It's kind of similar in jiu-jitsu, you know, I would say is like, you know, and it all correlates to how much time you put into it. But yeah, dude, you're about to get into it, man.
Yeah, I'm excited.
It's awesome. Yeah. I'm so happy that you're doing it, and I'm just excited for you, man.
Yeah,
I was thinking about that on the way home from CrossFit today. I was like, damn, look at this. Now, like, me and Pat are really going to be doing like everything right. together.
Working out, rolling.
Yeah, I'm just bringing you into my world, bro.
Heck yeah. Hey, I'm looking forward to it. It's a ton of fun, man. It's just like I was telling you before, but like, yeah, that the last guy I was rolling with, I was like, fuck, I wish he would have had a shirt on underneath because fucking went to wrap around him and it was just
sweat.
His gi opened up, no shirt, and just a straight sweat.
Oh, bro.
Trying to hold a grip with that. I'm like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, dude, there's some guys that don't wear rash guards underneath their gis. And you know, there's this guy, he still is a purple belt. He's kind of come and gone at Watson's quite a few times now. And but he trained with us at the gym that I was at before at Finney's. And he was a purple belt there, and I believe he's still a purple belt today. And kind of a bigger guy, and kind of a heavier set dude. And his move, man, he did it to me, he did it to Nick. He would always do it. He, you know, kind of a bigger boy, bigger belly, and he'd never wear a rash guard under his gi. And his thing was he'd get you in mount, so basically he's sitting on your chest, and then he'd just grab the back of your head and just press it into his into his belly, and so you're just like. You know, yeah, the old smother tap.
There's in jiu-jitsu, there's very few things as bad as just being smothered by someone bigger than you in mount. Like, if you're my size, you mount me, like, I'll live, I'll survive. I can probably get out of it or get you off me. You're a bigger guy, you got 20 pounds. I'm done. I can't breathe. It stinks. It's just.
Yeah. Well, nothing like someone's like sweaty bare belly, like pressed under your lips and nose and just like.
That's why we don't get put in those positions. Yeah. Shut the fuck up.
That's you'll find that's a classic.
Don't do that.
It's a classic coach answer. Like, hey, how do I get out of the submission?
Don't start there.
Well, you don't get put in. Oh, was the classic smart ass coach answer.
Once you start going to Kyle's classes, he'll fucking single you out and talk shit too.
Oh yeah, Kyle, dude, I can't wait to get him in here, man.
He's hilarious.
He's really funny.
Very cool to meet him. Him and Remington are like fucking identical twins.
Yeah, they look pretty similar.
I never thought of that.
Well, yeah, the only reason I saw it because they were standing right next to each other. I was like, holy shit! Like Remington came up and said hi, and then you introduced me to Kyle right afterwards. Which the cool fucking thing about that was like, dude, you're Pat Doyle, right? And I'm like. How the fuck did you know my name? Like,
I told him you were coming.
Right. And I was like, that's really fucking cool. But I'm like, I'm looking back and forth like, I'm like, are you guys brothers? Like, what the fuck? Like,
Jack told me we had some new meat coming in.
Yeah. Well, the one thing you'll find out about Kyle, I think I've brought it up on here before, but like, man, he always remembers everybody's name, which is just like shocking. I mean, there's probably, you know, like around 400 people that go to that gym, and he seems to always remember everybody's name.
I've been in quite a few gyms now over the last 3-ish years. And obviously, like, I'm still very fresh in my journey. But, I mean, as a guy who's still fairly new at Watson's, it's probably the best martial arts instruction I've ever been given, honestly.
Well, it's such a system. And that's, you know, I mean, pretty much everything you're going to learn in my classes, you know, it's kind of a watered down version of what Kyle teaches. You know, I put my own little spin on it, of course, and all the coaches do. You know, even if, you know, like if you'll ever go, you know, you'll probably go to my classes often, but if you ever go to the Monday, Wednesday, Jason, he's a purple belt as well. He teaches, and, you know, me and him, we have the same curriculum, but I always have, you know, students come up to me and say like, oh, you know, I Jason showed us how to do it this way, but I like your way better, but I like how Jason does this better. And it's just like, we're teaching the right. same thing, but it's just like, it comes across a little differently. And like, maybe I have a little thing here that I like to do, or Jason does this a little different, but like each person kind of has their own little spin on it. And you'll find that when Kyle's really, I mean, dude, he's very like, I guess type A would be the one where he just seems very organized. Like his everything has like a system, and he really likes to funnel, like, I don't know what the best way to say it is. Funnel your options. So let's limit the guy that I'm going against. I'm gonna put him into a space where he's got two options, and mm-hmm. I know, all right, if he goes this way, I have this answer. If he goes this way, I have this answer. And it's just
simplifying.
Yeah, he simplifies it, man, and it makes it so, you know, he has a very good system for everything. And man, he's been doing it for, you know, over 20 years. Yeah. He's about as high level as you can get, and I mean, he's, you know, very well regarded in the jiu-jitsu community. And I mean, we have such an incredible community here in St. Louis. I mean, for us being in the Midwest, it's, I mean, the amount of black belts that we have here locally, I mean, Kyle's got, you know, several under him. And then, you know, you go out to Head Nod with Josh, or you go out to Revive with Junior and Nick. I mean, there's just, we have so many cool, I mean, so many great gyms here locally. And, you know, when you get a little bit farther into your, you know, journey where you're, you know, kind of, you know, get the training wheels off. We'll go to, you know, check out all the open mats, and it'll be awesome.
Yeah, man. I'm excited. I'm really pumped.
Yeah. So, but yeah, man. So that's awesome. I just so we'll keep you updated on Pat's jiu-jitsu journey.
Yeah, follow along for my jiu-jitsu journey.
Yeah. So we haven't done one of these in a while, but we were gonna go over the James Clear 3-2-1 today.
Hey, sounds good to me.
Yeah, let's do it. So. So just a reminder, it's James Clear, the author of Atomic Habits. He does his weekly newsletter. That's really good. So, you know, go on there and subscribe to him. You know, he's great. So, the whole concept is he does 3 ideas from me, 2 quotes from others, and 1 question for you. So, first, 3 ideas from me. You can ignore your weakness, but you can't expect them to not impact you. Your weakness of the coach shapes the players. The weakness of the teacher influences the students. The weakness of the parent molds the child.
Oh, 100%. I mean, we're always going to have our flaws. We're always going to have our weaknesses. And, you know, it's, and yeah, I mean, those are going to come out naturally. Like, you're never going to be great at everything.
Mm-hmm.
And you just got to, I mean, obviously conquering your weaknesses is the ultimate goal, like, hey, knowing what you're weak at.
Well, yeah, identifying, yeah, you know, and being open enough to say, like, hey, man, I fucking suck at this, or I'm scared of this, or this is something I'm not good at.
Right.
Like, there's even coming up, even identifying those is very difficult for a lot of people, I would think.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, I know it's hard for me.
That's the hardest part, is identifying it. But then once you do identify it, like, are you just going to let that conquer you, or are you going to, you know, conquer it? You know, we've had this conversation before in terms of, like, the mental toughness side of things is, you know, standing in front of that thing that scares you and saying, listen, I got this, motherfucker. I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
And part of that is your weaknesses. And I know that, like, that's something that, you know, when I was playing baseball, that was something that I would sit with and think about, like, hey, where are my weaknesses? Like, right now, like, I'm having a hard time hitting the outside corner on a away from a right-handed hitter. So throwing to my glove side, because my ball would always tail back in over the plate. So it's like, that was my weakness. So I focused on that when I was doing my bullpens. Like, that was my regular thing that I focused on as a parent. Like, it's very easy to lose your cool. And so, like, for me, like, I sit down and I know that that's my weakness, is that I can lose my cool. So now whenever I feel like I'm getting in that position, I sit back and I count to 5, collect myself. And then before I go and just lose it, like, at least I'm in a little bit calmer state. So, but 'cause I can see how it, you know, from before where I would just let it fly off, how it's affected my kids because now they do it sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's like, fuck, I did that. I need to figure out how to fix that. So, yeah, I mean, definitely. I mean, the biggest thing is just identifying.
Yeah, I agree. So, all right. Next one. Don't wait to start writing until you have something to say. Start writing so you can find out what you have to say.
Good tweet.
Yeah. The first idea is rarely your best idea. It can take a lot of reps before you discover something worth keeping.
Should. Mm. I mean, we just talked about that with jujitsu.
Yeah, with jujitsu. Yeah. I mean.
No one's going to be an expert right off the bat.
No one's ever showed up at jujitsu on their first day and submitted a black belt.
Yeah.
There's no coincidence. That's one of the things I love about it the most, man, is it's so honest. You cannot fake it. Yeah. There is no faking it when you're squaring up with someone, and the better person is going to win. Yeah. I mean, it is so rare that someone who, you know, you don't catch someone in a lucky triangle choke, yeah. You know, like it just doesn't happen. I mean, or especially someone who's very good, you know, I mean,
Chael Sonnen could.
Sure. Sure. I mean, it's,
I had to, I'm sorry.
Sure. Yeah, I guess that. Yeah, but it, it's just, it doesn't happen, man. And, you know, if you're the better person will win. And, but like going back to this, I mean, rarely your best idea. Rather, your first idea is rarely your best idea. It can take a lot of reps before you discover something is worth keeping.
It almost goes back like to his book where he was, I think it was his book where he was talking about the photography class where like there was half the class got to take as many pictures as they possibly could and submit their pictures. And then the other class had to find that perfect picture. So the people that were, and what they came to find out was the people that got to take thousands of pictures did better because they got the reps in.
And they failed. And failed.
I mean, shit. I mean, how many times have we failed, especially in like real estate, learning things on the fly? Like, I mean, I can't tell you. I mean, if I could go back and could listen to the very first cold call I ever made.
Oh, God.
I mean, shit. Like, you know, it takes repetition.
Cut my ears off.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Probably stuttered all the way through it and was nervous as hell.
No confidence.
Sounded like an idiot. You know, like no one's, you know, obviously that am I, obviously I'm not working with that agent. You know?
Right. Yeah, for sure. For sure. I mean, dude, I think back into everything. I mean, even going back to like when I started, you know, working out in high school, I go back and like look at, you know, just starting out and doing that and like how my fitness has changed since then.
Right.
I mean, how much I've improved, how much better like my form is on a squat or like, you know, just so many different things. And especially like when we started in CrossFit, you know, even when you started there a couple months ago, when you went into that foundations class, you know, today we're working on clean and jerk, you know, like, I mean, like today when we're doing clean and jerk, I mean, when was the last time, you know, you probably have not done that a ton, but I bet you're way better at it today than you were when you tried it for the first time a couple months ago.
The only time I had done it before was in the fundamentals class. Oh, so today is the first time I'd done it since that class. And, you know, Bree was there working with me, but like every rep that I did it was better and better and better.
100%.
So obviously I'm still got a lot of work to do with it, but. Yeah, I mean, it got better the more I did it.
100%.
So
just like everything, man.
Yep. Get them reps in.
Filmed with Brie yesterday. She's a fucking freak, dude.
Isn't she?
Oh, God.
Dude, she's a savage.
Yeah.
I know she listens to the show, so.
Yeah, Brie, fucking savage.
She's a monster,
man. I'm still not doing CrossFit with you.
Yeah, I know. I know if Brie's in a class and I can, you know, stay like, I'm never beating her in a workout, but if I can sort of stay, you know, as close as I can to her, like I know I'm doing all right.
Yeah, that's the thing is I've had her as my coach and I've seen her there doing her own thing when I've been in classes, but I've never been in a class with her. So yeah,
she's a monster, man.
I'm sure.
Like super impressive.
She was like, hey, we're going to do this fucking awful ladder workout. Hey, now I'm going to go hit some muscle ups just cause. Okay.
Yeah.
Emasculate me.
Yeah. 100%. All right, next one. You will never find one answer to what makes you happy. There are many answers and they change based on your current state. People need to relax, but if all you do is sit on the beach, it gets old. People need to find meaning in work, but if all you do is work, it gets exhausting. People benefit from exercise, but if all you do is exercise, it gets unhealthy. Happiness will always be fleeting because your needs change over time. The question is, what do you need right now?
Ooh.
I like that.
And that's a good one. Yeah, I mean, shoot. It's true. I mean, obviously, you know, you start something and you've got that initial excitement about it, and then you do it and do it and do it, and then it loses its luster.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's where the mental toughness side of things comes in, and, you know, pushing yourself through mentally when you don't, you know, when you don't want to do something.
Mm-hmm. But I think there's a piece of it too, where you got to figure out where, you know, not only what makes you happy, but what's beneficial for you. Like, you don't want to always like push and push and push and push until, you know, you absolutely like hate something or you get burnt out, or, you know, like I was thinking, I was listening to a podcast the other day, and, you know, they were talking about like, all right, how successful do you want to be? Like, how much money do you need to make? Like, is it going to be so much that it makes you, you know, kind of lose track of all your relationships, and this is all you can focus on is your business and the money coming in the door? Cause then it's like, why are you doing it? Is it just for those numbers in the bank account? Cause like, you got to live your life too, you know, and you got to enjoy yourself. And I think that's kind of what it all really boils down to, is like, man, like, you want to live a life that you enjoy, and not, I mean, but, and I will say, I mean, I think a life where you're financially successful is going to be a life that's a lot more enjoyable.
Yeah.
So I think it's about finding that happy medium of like,
I 100% agree with that. I mean, to cut you off, honestly, I think that question should be not what do you need right now, but what is your why? Like, if you have a strong why and why you're doing what you're doing, then you shouldn't have to question your happiness, because your why is what's driving your happiness.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for all three of those things that they mentioned, if you have your why set in stone, obviously, you know, I could see how sitting on a beach every day gets fucking, I mean,
I can't even do it for a week, bro. Gina knows I do not vacation well. We got to have shit to do.
For example, my parents retired to Florida. They live on the beach, and like, their house is unbelievable. Like, 100 feet from the water, they've got a pool. I mean, literally an oasis down there. And I'm asking them, I'm like, well, how's retirement? I mean, that's like, and like, they're like, well, you know, you can get kind of burnt out on things pretty quick. So they're constantly doing new things, like going to the gym or playing golf or the part of a boat club where they can take out a boat.
Yeah.
Like, just things like, yeah, you know, this was great for the first month that we were here, enjoying it, relaxing it. And we do it every so often where we just sit out here, but that's not all we do.
Yeah. We need hobbies. Yeah. We need things that I think we just constantly need things that we need to improve on. You know,
a variety of experiences, dude.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, like, okay, we're all entrepreneurial. We all have businesses, but we all have different things we like to do to like occupy our time and attention outside of our work. And me, for instance, I'm going to go to EDC Vegas this weekend. I'm not repeating the same mistake I did last year and going for 6 days. I'm going for 3 days because I still need to work. You guys still need things done, but it's like, for those 3 days, I'm going to have a good time.
Yeah.
When I'm not raving my face off, I'm still working.
Right.
I mean, I'm enjoying a little bit of time away, but God, this idea of like, hey, we're going to go on holiday for a month. I'm like, how and why?
Right.
I don't get it.
Couldn't.
Vacations are great, but fuck. I mean, I feel like after I come back from a vacation, I'm busier than I was beforehand. And I have a team that can help me.
Yeah.
And so it's like, I don't know. Vacations are great, but fuck, honestly, like, give me two, 3 days.
Yeah, I think.
I mean, that's what, like, the weekends.
3-4 days is perfect, man. Like, I think that's a perfect vacation. Give me a couple days to kind of reset. And I think that's super important, too, is, you know, kind of a good, you know, couple days reset. But, like, man, weeks, that's where it starts getting, you know, I get a little, I get very antsy. I get very uncomfortable.
Well, and I think that, too, like, correlating this to baseball, I mean, that's where you see a lot of guys get burnt out in pro ball. I mean, you're playing every day. I mean, you might have one off day a month.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, and you're at the field from, you know, 1 p.m. until midnight some nights, maybe even later. And it's just the same thing over and over and over again. And if they don't have the mental toughness and the why to what they're doing, you know, you see these guys fizzle out all the time. They just don't have that endurance to do it. And that's what separates. And that's why those guys in the big leagues are so fucking special. Like, the mental toughness and the ability to grind day in and day out doing the same fucking thing over and over. Like, it'd be cool. This might be something that when we get Ross on, ask him, like, hey, how did you do it?
Well, that was one thing at our conversation the other night at the restaurant with those guys. You just fucking took them to school on baseball stuff, because like, they were like talking about, you know, how unathletic baseball players are and this and that, and then you're like, all right. I saw him go like, all right, now you're in my wheelhouse. Yeah. Let me fucking take you to school here.
Fuck yeah. You can take. So, yeah. So hitting a baseball at 90 miles an hour has already been proven to be one of the hardest things to do in the world.
Yeah.
All right. So they were like, oh yeah, baseball players aren't athletes. And I'm like, fuck you. You better believe they're some of the best athletes around, because I bet you could take the best, most athletic Major League Baseball player, and you could put him in any other professional sport and he would be successful. My first thought would be like Mookie Betts. That dude is a fucking freak. And the fact that he's been able to do it at like be an all-star at multiple different positions in the game, like that's not easy.
Well, it's not coincidence either. He's not getting lucky.
Right. You know? And here's the thing too that I told him. I'm like, listen, I'd say probably half the guys that I played with in pro ball all had scholarships to other sports other than baseball. And they failed. I mean, fuck, look at Russell Westbrook or Russell Wilson.
Wilson, yeah.
That motherfucker got drafted pretty high and then gave up baseball because it was too hard, because he knew he could go and make way more money and be in the NFL way quicker.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing is, like, I mean, Mookie Betts might be one of the fastest guys in the league, most athletic guys in the league. I bet, I mean, now granted, he's small, so obviously playing in the NBA is probably going to be tough for him because he is small, but I think he's so athletic, he's athletic enough that he could figure it out. Where I guarantee you, you can't take some fucking basketball player and he could be super fucking athletic.
Go throw him on the plate and you pitch.
I want to see them throw a fucking baseball, because I've seen some of those people try and throw baseballs. And if you've ever seen the Volkswagen commercial where the son and the dad are playing catch and it's the most awkward, god awful thing, that's what some of these superior athletes look like. It's a different type of athleticism that it takes to play baseball. And I guarantee you could take any. And I didn't even put it up there with hockey players too, because that is like being able to skate on ice on that thin of metal. Like, I think baseball and hockey players, you could take the most athletic players from those two sports and put them in any other sport and they'd be successful at it. But I don't think you could do that with any other sport and put them into hockey or baseball.
Yeah. Oh man. You know, it's like, there's a big running joke of like watching like MMA fighters like throw balls.
Well, fuck, look at all these first pitch.
Like, I mean, it's fucking pathetic. Watch me throw a ball.
And that's the thing is like, the one big thing with that was like, especially like strength athletes that are constantly lifting, like their flexibility. Like, that's the thing with baseball players, their flexibility. You have to be flexible to be able to throw a baseball hard.
Right.
If you're tight and your muscle, like you're not flexible enough to really get the whip that you need to throw a baseball. You might have the power in your legs, but if you don't know how to work your lower half with the whip of your upper body, you're not going to have that power. And then the same thing with swinging a bat. Like, you watch them trying to muscle up, but they're so stiff in their rotational movements that they struggle with that. And, you know, shout out to baseball players, hockey players. You guys are fucking phenomenal athletes, even though you guys don't get the credit that you deserve. So basically I'm saying, because I play both hockey and baseball, I'm a phenomenal athlete. That's a joke. You should have seen me try to field the ball. I'm not very good at that.
Yeah.
Or hit. Couldn't hit to save my life. But anyway.
All right. Two quotes from others. Painter Vincent van Gogh on pushing yourself. I am always doing it. What I can't do yet in order to learn how to do it.
Yeah. I mean, just putting yourself in situations you don't know what the fuck you're doing. I mean, like, that was me yesterday with
jiu-jitsu.
I'm putting myself in a situation I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. But I'm going to try it, and I'm going to figure it out, and I'm going to keep working at it until I fucking get it.
Yeah, baptism by fire.
Yep.
Next one. Writer and translator Estelle Gibson shares this translation. What did I say that wrong?
Gilson.
Estelle Gilson shares this translation of a rejection slip issued by Chinese Economic Journal in the process reveals the most incredible way to say no. We have read your manuscript with boundless delight. If we were to push your paper, it would be impossible for us to publish any work of lower standard. And as it is unthinkable that in the next 1,000 years we shall see it its equal, we are, to our regret, compelled to return your divine composition and beg you 1,000 times to overlook our short sight and timidity.
That's pretty great. I mean, basically, just killed with kindness in a way. That's good. To publish any work of lower standard.
Yeah.
It's like a nice slap in the face.
Yeah.
But no, that's pretty funny. That's more, I mean, that's just more of a funny thing than, I mean, I don't even know how to comment on that,
but yeah.
You know, obviously I guess if you really want to think about it, it's talking about having the tough conversations with people
mm-hmm.
and how to have those tough conversations. I mean, there's a way to do it and a way to not to do it. That's an art within itself. And I mean, the people, this Chinese Economic Journal fucking nailed it.
So. Yeah. All right. Last one. One question for you. Unspoken boundaries often cause frustration. What is one area of your life where you would benefit from having clearer boundaries but haven't voiced them yet?
My phone's already on Do Not Disturb all the time.
Yeah, I mean, for me, like, in this business, I get a lot of, like, last-minute calls. Like, hey, I need a pre-approval, and I need it right now. And I feel like... Like, yes, we can do that, but you need to prep the people in that situation to have everything ready to give me in a timely manner. Because guess what? I still do have a life. I still have kids that I want, and I still have things that I want to do outside of work. But I feel like I am constantly work. I feel like I'm on call 24/7. Yep. Like at any point in time, somebody can reach out to me. And if I'm available, 100% I'm going to do it. But at the same time, you know, it's almost like I've had agents in the past where it's like, hey, listen, I can't get to this for like another hour and a half, 2 hours. Nah, we're just going to call someone else. And I'm like, well, fuck me. Like, what am I just supposed to sit here and not have a life and live at my computer? That's not fair because let's be real, as an agent, I mean, you work a lot, but you're not working 24/7. You have the ability to control your schedule and work around and have people work around your schedule to see homes, write offers, all these things. But as a loan officer, we really don't, like, unless you've got your agent, like you work with your agents and communicate with your agents, it doesn't, you know, especially like working with new agents, they're like, well, it has to be done now. It has to be done right this second. Well, if you ask the upfront questions, like I'll call these people. I'm like, well, you know, are you trying to write an offer? No, we're just looking to get pre-approved. I'm like, all right, well then can we have this call on a different day, like, so I can go enjoy my kids and my family and or go do something that I want to do, like, or like clients will reach out and I'm like, cause I always tell them, I'm like, hey, if you can get me your shit by Friday, because I mean, houses are listed, they show coming soon or on them. Like, and these clients know you're sending them these homes, but you're texting me on a Saturday at 7 o'clock at night. Like, hey, I need numbers on this cause we're submitting an offer. Like, hey dude, when did you know you're going to go see this house? Oh, Thursday? Why didn't you ask me on Thursday?
Right.
You know, when I had plenty of time to get this done, now you're asking me
at 7 o'clock on a Saturday.
7 o'clock on a Saturday night.
I'm here with my kids.
Like this, it happened this past week. And I'm like, dude, I'm at a birthday party. I am in no shape or form to go and work up numbers.
Right.
So I was like, is it okay if I get him to you tomorrow morning? And most of people will be like, oh yeah, sure. Not a problem. But like preface that, like, hey, this isn't a rush. But we want to write an offer on this house. When you get a chance, can you work up numbers? Fuck yeah, that'd be great. But at the same time, it can be very frustrating because, you know, there's things that I want to do. There's things that I have planned. And I feel like when I make plans to do things on the weekend, I have to like, hey, I've only got about a 2 hour window to do something. And then I got to be able to get back to my computer for at least have the ability to get back to my computer for a couple hours because somebody could call last minute.
Oh man, I don't leave home without my laptop anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, and that's the thing is like, I'll have all my shit with me. I mean, like I said, fucking that wedding. I mean, and that's the thing, but like, here's the thing. You knew going in like, hey, these people called me last minute. They're ready to write right now. They were pre-approved with somebody else. I don't trust their pre-approval. Sorry that this is last minute. Is there any way you can get this worked up? And I'm like, yeah, no, not a problem. Like, there's a way of doing it. And it's almost like sometimes agents just demand it instead of being like, hey, like,
where are you at right now?
Yeah.
Like, are you in a place where you could do this? Like, is this really going to fuck you up?
Right.
You know, I don't want to.
Well, and you know, like, it's just having a little bit of respect. You know, it's, you know, sometimes like, yeah. And that's the problem is, you know, as loan officers, we want to be able to help everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And we try, but there's going to be times where we've got shit going on. And, you know, I feel like if I say that, I'm a disappointment to this agent and it's not, and then they're going to hold that against me. And they're going to go call some other lender. And I'm like, that's, you know, it's kind of fucked up, but, right. You know, and so, yeah, the boundary that for me is just being like, listen, like talking to agents and then listen, I am on call for you. I will be there for you. But like, let's have some give and take here. Like mm-hmm. I still do.
Be cordial.
I still do have a life. I still have things that I do outside of work. It's not that I just live to fucking work. Like I like doing things on the weekend with my kids. My kids play sports. I coach, like mm-hmm. all of this stuff. If you give me, like, if you're calling me right here and it's got to be done right here, right now, then no, I'm probably like, if
go I'm, find someone else.
Yeah, go. Yeah. Wow, sorry. That's fine. Call someone else. But if you want me to do it, give me some time. I'm in the middle of something. Let me figure out what the fuck I'm doing and then move on. But, you know, and that's just, you know, it is getting better. You see with a lot of old school agents, but like newer agents and people, like, they get it, but you know, but it's still frustrating.
Yeah.
It still can be frustrating.
Yeah. One of the things it's coming to mind right now for me, and I guess this is kind of me putting a more of a boundary on myself more than anything, because it's just having a good open line of communication with Gina and my wife and on just like my work schedule. Cause as we just said, like, you know, my shit can get out of hand really, really fast. And like before we had our son and before we brought him kind of into the world, and like, I used to just be like, hey honey, I'm gone. I'm going to be gone from, you know, I just would schedule shit with clients and then tell her after the fact, like, hey, I'm gone. You know, hey, I got to go show these houses. Sorry. I'm going to be gone from, you know, 2 o'clock to I'll probably be home around 8, mm-hmm. you know, like that was cool. You know, we were, you know, didn't have, you know, didn't, she wasn't 9 months pregnant and didn't have a 2-year-old running around that she has to chase after. And now that's the case. And, you know, now she's, you know, like I said, 9 months pregnant and things are getting more difficult. And I've just have really had to be aware of, you know, talking with her about thing, you know, like my schedule and running things by her before I confirm anything, because, you know, like my family comes first. And, that's been a limitation, or, you know, a kind of limitation I've had to put on myself. Cause like my natural instinct is, like I've talked about, being a people pleaser. Like, oh, you want to go see the house at 3 o'clock tomorrow? Boom, let's do it. Right. You know, like before, you know, that would normally, I would just say, yep, let's do it. But now I'm like, all right, you know, let me give me 20 minutes to respond. Let me hear back from her, make sure that there's not, you know, a doctor's appointment or a thing somewhere we got to be with Calvin or something that we got to do, or, you know, something that I'm not aware of. And again, that does come down to being really diligent on our calendar. And that's something we've gotten a lot better at, is like, you know, we have a, you know, sharing our Google calendars with each other and, you know, keeping that kind of linked up together. So that's something I've definitely been working on. And I think we're doing a lot better at.
Well, I mean, shit, you've done a good job with it with us when it comes to scheduling the podcast, you know,
yeah, it's, I have to, dude.
Yeah, exactly.
I forget, dude. My memory is just fucking dog shit.
Yeah. I mean, and that's the thing is like, I was there. I get it. I know. I mean, it's a little different now with being divorced. I don't have, like, as long as I have, if I don't have the kids, I've got, you know, the free reign to do whatever I want.
Mm-hmm.
But if I've got the kids, or even before that, like having to communicate that, it's, and, you know, it's the people that aren't in those relationships that don't understand that. And they're like, oh, you got to check with your wife. Well, fuck yeah, dude.
Yeah,
it's
dude.
Common.
Sorry.
It's just like common courtesy and respect for my wife.
Right. So, you know, because like, that was a part of it too. Like, part of me was like feeling like a bitch. Oh, I got to check with my wife before I do anything. Like, but now, dude, it's part of it. I've accepted it. Call me what you want.
Part of being a man is learning that and realizing that you're in a partnership. And I mean, that might be part of why, you know, where things fail with me being young and all that, and just, you know, putting things in front of, you know, hers. I mean, we talked about it with Lee, is having a good partner that understands that. And for a while, you know, we both understood that with our schedules, but then once you throw kids in the mix, things change. And it's like, listen, you know, that was the thing, was we put our jobs in front of each other's,
mm-hmm.
and it just became, you know, a fight all the time. Like, well, I've got this to do. Well, I've got this to do. What's more important? You know, mm-hmm. like whose jobs, and then it became a competition of whose jobs more important. And that's the last thing you'll ever want in a relationship. And there's going to be some give and takes. And that was the one thing that I think I learned from my failed marriage, and where I struggled was I wasn't necessarily the best at that, which I feel like I've gotten a lot better now, especially because of how we have to communicate with the boys and how their schedules line up. There might be something that comes up, like, you know, we talk like, hey, put it on the schedule. Like if it's on the schedule and I see it, I can schedule things around it and I can help. I can, you know, like tomorrow is a doctor's appointment. So for Ali, and I didn't know about it, but she texts me, she goes, hey, are you able to, you know, I know it's tomorrow is your day with the boys. Ali's got a doctor's appointment at 2:00. I'm like, well, it wasn't on the schedule, so I didn't see it. She goes, yeah, it was just like kind of a last minute. I can definitely take him, but I just wanted to see if possibly you could. And I'm like, I've already got something scheduled for that time, but next time, you know, anytime you schedule anything for the boys, put it on a calendar, put it on the calendar. That way I can see it and I can schedule around it. And yeah. So I'll do the same. So yeah, I mean, because it's, I mean, even now it's probably, we need to her and I communicate more now about things like this than we did when we were married. So
crazy.
Yeah. So.
All right, guys. Well, I think that's a good spot for us to stop. You know, guys, if you, please make sure you're subscribed. If you're not, if you guys are getting anything out of the show, make sure to tell your friends.
Yeah.
We'd love to, you know, kind of keep the show growing. And, you know, we've definitely gotten some new subscribers lately. You know, I'm noticing that the listens are going up a little bit. So
yeah, interact with us too. Leave us a comment. We love chatting with you guys and love hearing what you guys have to think. So let us know.
Yeah.
Drop a comment.
Yeah. Don't be afraid to reach out to us on social media either. You know, Pat and I are always on Instagram. So, you know, posting the clips and stuff. So, you know, don't be afraid to interact with us on there. You know, share the show, tell your friends, and hit that like button, comment down below, and we will see you guys next time.